Have you been wanting to start a podcast but not quite sure where to start? If so, I'd love for you to check out my online course called How to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours. Here we'll dive into all of the things you need to get started. Things like how to name your podcast, which microphone to use, how to edit, and lots more. Go to realdavidezell.com to learn more. That's realdavidezell.com to learn more.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezell. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezell, and today I'm joined by Andy Neary. He's the founder of Complete Game Consulting. Andy's a former professional baseball player, two-time Ironman finisher, business coach, and founder of Complete Game Consulting. He helps insurance professionals target the right audience at the right time. His programs help people cultivate off-field habits, mindset, and rituals that lead to all-star performances. What's going on?
David, happy to be here, man. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yes, sir. Me too. And so let's just go ahead and kind of dive into it. I mean, I really kind of don't know where to start. There's so many things. Ironman, professional baseball player, everything else. I mean, I played baseball, I mean, nowhere near that level. We're talking like high school and, you know, kind of grew up around it. That's what I've always played. So it's always kind of been that aspiration. So let's, before we even dive into the business aspect, what was that like? Was that one of those things where you grew up as a kid and it was baseball all the time, and that's where life kind of naturally took you?
Yeah, and there's actually a business lesson here too. So I grew up in a baseball family. My dad was the high school coach in the town I grew up in. He played college baseball. And so, you know, it was a blessing to be able to come home every night and have that mentorship right there, right? And yeah. So growing up, I actually was kind of a chunky kid, but still always a good athlete, even though I was chunky. And then when I grew out of the chunk and started maturing, I had a successful high school baseball career in Wisconsin, which gave me the opportunity to play college ball at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, which won't make sense for somebody in Texas. It's the only Division I program in the state. And so it was an honor to be able to go there. And we were a Division I mid-major program. We weren't, you know, big time, but we had some success. We went on to the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Had a huge upset of Rice while we were in the tournament. So had a really fun career at UWM. And then after my four-year career at UWM was over, I had an opportunity to sign as a free agent with the Milwaukee Brewers, which was a really cool thing because that was my hometown team growing up.
Yep.
And the business lesson part of this, and this will apply to a lot of people, you and I were talking offline about some of the people we follow in entrepreneurship. It can be hard to follow them because they're so far ahead of where we're at.
Yeah.
And when I got to pro baseball, my mind got the best of me because when you're playing pro baseball, it's a really interesting dynamic. You're actually competing with your teammates because everybody's trying to get promoted. The coaches are trying to get promoted. The umpires are trying to get promoted. Everybody's trying to get promoted. And when I'm a free agent who did not sign for very much money, I let that get the best of me. And it really impacted my pro career because I felt out of place. Because here I am pitching on the same staff with guys who are drafted in the second and third rounds. And I had a lot of those moments where I felt like, who am I? Why do I belong here?
Some of that imposter syndrome kind of.
I felt like I had to be perfect because I knew every day I took the mound, if I screwed up, it could be my last day. And so, man, it was just, the fear of comparison, judgment, and failure is what really defined my pro baseball career. And it's interesting, David, because I have a lot of people who will say, must have been nice to play pro baseball. And it was. But it's also what drives me today because I know I did not live up to my full potential.
Interesting. So what was your mindset then? So it was, like you said, was it a lot of anxiety and that feeling of just, yes, there's that. I don't know that I should be here or comparison, or was it just all of that and then it just kind of culminated into something else?
Absolutely. Because, you know, when you think about the minor league system in pro baseball, you are literally judged every day by stats. Mm. You are compared to your teammates every day. And as I mentioned, you know, being a free agent, I can only fail once and it could be my last day. And I think I let that, a lot of free agents have overcome that and went on to have a lot of success and make it all the way. I let it get the best of me. And it's interesting because fast forward 20 some years, starting my own business, those are the very things that I've been able to avoid to have success growing a business. You know this, right? When you're growing a business, you're going to fail.
Oh, yeah.
You are not going to be perfect, and you can't compare yourself to other entrepreneurs. You've got to stay in your lane. And it's been such a powerful, has had such a powerful impact on my life of getting over all of those fears.
Is it just one of those things that you kind of take with you every single day? So like you've been there, you know what it's like, you know what that moment feels like when maybe you're growing your business, but then let's say you're charging a higher price. Let's say you're like the 70 to 80% of price for whatever service you provide. And then I know that I've had that feeling before where it's like, well, why is somebody going to pay 70% price for my service or product? Why don't I just put it at 30? I can probably get more customers and I'll just, you know, two customers equals one. I can make the money work later. Maybe I'm not the best, you know? I mean, is that just something that you, like from the playing days, that you just kind of hold on to and you say, no. We've been here. We learned that lesson. I'm going to shift it around.
100%. And I think another very important lesson out of that, you know, the pricing, that's a huge one. If you're in the coaching business or if you're, you know, what am I worth, right? You're telling people what you're worth. And I know as a coach trainer, that was definitely a difficult thing early on in my business career because I probably would tend to devalue myself. Mm-hmm. The other part of that, though, is tying your self-worth to your results.
Interesting.
And I did that in baseball, right? If I was pitching well, I was a great human being. If I was getting killed on the mound, I sucked as a human being, right? And don't get me wrong, I still battle today, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs battle that. Tying the result you're creating in your business to your self-worth, I think, is one of the biggest challenge that entrepreneurs face.
1,000%, because entrepreneurship can be a lonely thing, especially if you're building the business by yourself. You know, if you don't kind of have that, whether it's family or really close community of entrepreneurs, people that know what it's like, where you don't just clock out at 5:01 on a Friday and it's like, whew, next 48 hours, I got nothing to do. You know, that's not the world that we live in. So I think you're right. I mean, it can be so hard to do that. Keep the mindset where it needs to be, not have those negative things kind of just, you know, on one side of your shoulder. And like you said, always making sure that you're learning from the lessons that you've had before so that you can be more equipped to face it.
Absolutely. I think one thing that ties entrepreneurs together is we love what we do. Yeah. We don't have the issue with drive because we love what we do. It's not, are you working enough? For a lot of us, it's, I would do this 24 hours a day if I could. And I think what you said is so true. A lot of people who are not in that world, maybe your spouse, have a hard time understanding that I don't clock out at 5:00 and clock back in at 8:00 Monday morning. Like, right. It is always on my mind.
All the time. And so where does that leave us after baseball to Complete Game Consulting? I know there's triathlon and all of that kind of mixed in. Was that in the middle, or were there some parallels there?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you I got paid to do that. I didn't. I wasn't that good. But no, I did the Ironmans in my 30s as a good challenge to myself. I think I've always had, you know, an athlete in me. I love working out. And so that was something I took to see as a good mental and physical challenge about 10 to 12 years ago. So I did three Ironmans. Two I finished, one I unfortunately had to drop out due to an injury. But, you know, early in my, you know, my whole career, David, has been spent in the insurance industry. And if I told you that I quickly got over all those fears from pro baseball and went on to have a successful insurance career right away, I'd be lying to you. Those same fears impacted me early in my career, the constant fear of comparison, failure, and judgment. And I had a very bad sales career early on. In fact, there were moments I'm like, I'm not fit for sales. Mm. I can't do this. This is not who I am. It's time to get out. And, you know, thankful that in 2014, I really found personal development. And I really started studying that and getting my mindset in a place where it needed to be to think of myself as a success. And what that led me ultimately to do is move away from selling insurance. And in 2019, I started the coaching training company, Complete Game Consulting, helping other insurance producers build the credibility they need to win insurance business.
Is that one of the biggest things that you've noticed, the problems that they have as well, is the self-confidence in themselves, and maybe they're trying too hard to sell something as opposed to building the relationship first and letting the selling kind of come naturally?
100%. You know, the reason this company exists is because in 2014, you and I were talking offline. I live in Wisconsin, but in 2014, we moved to Colorado and I was still selling insurance, but I found myself in a market where nobody knew I existed.
Yeah.
And so I had to build a different plan. I couldn't just live off of cold calling and cold emails and going door to door, which is what I was taught.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to try something different. And so I went to other industries and I said, what are they doing with marketing? And that's where I discovered social media. I discovered public speaking and doing all these things we really weren't doing in the industry. And I brought them back and I grew a nice book quickly. Well, what happened is friends of mine, peers of mine started seeing what I was doing and they're like, teach me how to do that.
Wow.
And lo and behold, I realized the insurance industry has a really bad problem. And that is the problem of communication. We do not know how to market ourselves. Just the phrase personal brand, you say that in the insurance industry and people kind of look at you cross-eyed. What are you talking about?
Right.
But today, you know as well as I do, if you own a business and, or in our case, you have a book of business in the insurance, you're a brand.
Right.
And you have got to figure out how to put your brand out in the market that grabs attention from the right prospects. And that's really what Complete Game Consulting is founded upon today. It is a coaching and training company. We specifically work with the insurance industry that helps people build the trust and the credibility they need with prospects to win business.
Does it seem like it's an easier conversation once you start to do a little bit of that education? So let's say, like you said, let's say you are at a networking event, you're talking to someone who's maybe in the same industry, and you start talking about personal brand and branding and public speaking and getting yourself out and all of these different things around marketing. Is it a lot, like once you start to kind of do some of that education, or is it, you kind of see that light bulb go off and they're like, oh, and like you said, I need this. Come show me what you do.
Absolutely. And I think one of our biggest successes early in our business's career, David, is most of our leads today, 98% of them are inbound. And it's all built off the back of our own social media content.
Awesome.
So a lot of what we're doing, we're teaching, we do ourselves. And what I realized is if you put yourself out there not a lot, enough, and I learned this from a mentor, brand is nothing more than your reputation. If you put your reputation out there enough in the form of content, what you're going to do is build likability and credibility with people.
Yep.
Right? You and I both know social media influencers that we've never met.
Yeah.
But we probably trust them. If they recommended a product, we'd probably try it.
Right.
We've never met these people. You can do that today in a way that you couldn't do 5 or 10 years ago. And what I saw was an opportunity where the insurance industry is still pretty far behind. Mm-hmm. But here's what's funny. When you start teaching an insurance professional about branding and how to put themselves out there, guess what comes starts creeping in? Fear of judgment, fear of comparison, fear of all the things I dealt with in the pro baseball career. It's no different in sales.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. Once you start to see that light bulb of, oh, I think I want to get into this. This is something that can benefit myself, my client base, our customers, all of that. It's almost kind of like that, the roller coaster analogy. Again, you get the high of, oh, I can envision this. Let's get it going. And then all of a sudden you get to that edge where you're like, wait a minute. What if I put this out there and people think I'm stupid? What if I put this out there and it doesn't resonate? Or even worse, it turns my clients off completely. So I think that's a great kind of crosshatch of, here's how you can build your business going forward and your personal brand going forward. But here's also some little things to keep in your tool belt for when you have those moments of doubt, which are going to pop up a ton. Here's how you can kind of combat those. Instead of just saying, hey, here's the things to go and build your brand.
good luck, and kind of sending them out there on their own and just hoping that they know how to avoid the fire, per se.
Yeah, when we do our when we host workshops, we do our one-on-one coaching, or we do our academies, I'll tell you, a lot of the coaching is more mindset-based. You know, I can teach you how to use LinkedIn. I can teach you how to create content or how to create a marketing strategy. But before we do any of that, I've got to get you right between the ears. Because if you're not feeling well up there, you're not going to perform well in sales. There's no way.
Yeah.
And you know, that's something that's definitely part of the entrepreneurial roller coaster, right? Like, one thing I think anybody listening in could agree with is, one day you feel like you're absolutely killing it. Yeah. And then 2 days later, you're wondering, like, do I even know what I'm doing with this business?
Oh, that, I see so many like memes online where it's just exactly that, you know. Day one, it's killing it. Day two, it's like, I'm stupid. Day three, it's like, I think I know what I'm doing. You know, I mean, that's, it's just one of those things that you just kind of have to balance, you know. And I had a guest not long ago that he was like, you know, every single thing is just, I try to keep it even keel, even though I know I'm on a roller coaster of my emotions, business, finance, clients, all of that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. Get five clients today, great. Lose five clients tomorrow, great. You know, the more that you can just kind of keep that even keel and not getting too high, not getting too low, the better that you'll be and the more grounded you'll be.
100%. Yeah, it's a great way of saying it. You know, I also learned, I follow a lot of people who've been down this path. We were talking about this offline. One of them I've been doing a lot of studying of lately is Alex Hormozi.
Oh, yeah.
And who built the, you know, acquisition.com. And he said something that really stuck with me, which is, your whole goal as an entrepreneur is to play the infinite game. You know, a lot of, if you're building a business right now and it's a finite mindset where you're just trying to get to some deadline, you're not going to enjoy the process. If you play the game with the rules only being to keep the game going, that's it. That's the rules of an infinite game. Just keep the game going. I think you have a much longer term mindset about what you're doing. You're not thinking in days. You're thinking in years and even decades.
Right.
And this is just much more enjoyable. If you tell yourself, my only purpose is to keep the game going, it's a whole different mindset for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, I think social media has, you know, of course, good points and bad points. And I think one of maybe the negative points is it leads people to think that if you're not doing it, if you're not a success, if you're not Alex Hormozi in 30 days, that you're not successful. Whereas we all know that that's not how it happens. It took him decades to get there. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're in the game, you're playing. It's just as soon as you say, well, I'm done. Don't want to do it anymore. I didn't hit my goal. I'm done. Well, you're not playing the game anymore. You took your cards and you left, you know?
You made me remember something here I'd love to share with anybody listening because I might resonate. So I can remember, this before I started the business, and it was one of those messages I heard one night that gave me the confidence to go out on my own. I'm one of those entrepreneurs. I didn't become an entrepreneur until I was 41.
Yeah.
But I remember I watched Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V videos for years. Oh, yeah. I saw him speak one time in Denver.
How was he in person, by the way? Was he awesome?
You know, this was before I knew who he was. I'm like, God, man, this guy drops a lot of F-bombs before I knew that was really part of his brand.
Right.
But he was obviously very impactful. Yeah. I mean, he gets right to the point. He's very tactical in what he teaches on stage, and it was great. So I started watching him on YouTube, and I started studying his stuff, and a lot of it's mindset-based, right? And I remember he had a video where he talked about how you know when you can be successful as an entrepreneur. And what he said was, when you are at the depths of failing, yet you freaking love what you do, you can make it.
Yeah.
And I remember I had a moment that first year I was building Complete Game where the day was just awful. It was like I got my butt kicked in every way. I lost a couple clients, whatever. But I can remember going to bed that night excited about getting up the next day and doing it all over again. And I remember when that happened, I'm like, I got it. I can do this. If I can get through a day like today yet still be excited to get up tomorrow to do this, I can do this.
Are you eager to dive into the world of podcasting but not sure where to start? Look no further than How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. This dynamic course is your ultimate guide to launching a podcast from scratch in just one day. Learn the ins and outs of podcast creation, from content planning to recording, editing, and promotion. Head over to realdavidezel.com to grab your spot in this transformative course. Unleash your creativity, share your passion, and connect with your audience. Start your podcasting journey today with How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs need to hear that because they let their emotions in the moment sway what they do. And I think this is why a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck, is because if they're not feeling it, they don't do anything. And you just have to remember the only purpose is to keep the game going.
That's it. And that's so right. You know, one of those shows that I watch all the time is The Office. And I
Yes.
There's an episode that I just always think about when it comes to the same type of thing. When you're having the bad day, it's halfway through the series. Steve Carell has the second job as like the telemarketer that he's working after hours.
Yep, I know that one specifically. Yeah.
And he quits, you know, because Ryan, who's his boss at Dunder Mifflin's, like, hey, you, Michael, you can't be general manager here and then go and work until 2 a.m. there. It's affecting your job performance. And so he quits. And at the end, he's like, you know, that's what's great about the American dream. You can just go home, wake up the next day and try it again. And I was like, that is it. You know, you can. You can have it. You can have a bad day. But you know what? You can wake up tomorrow and the opportunities are there. The people are there. The community's there. And I don't know. I just like that. It's like you said, it's not stopping. It's just wake up tomorrow and keep going. Just try it again.
Fix it.
Yeah. Yep.
Try something new.
Yep.
You know, if what you did yesterday didn't work, try something new tomorrow.
Yeah.
I love that. And we live in a country where we can do this. Nobody's telling us what job we have to have, right? You can wake up tomorrow, quit your job and be an entrepreneur if you want. And so I just think now, you know, I came from a family of people who are not entrepreneurs, David.
Yeah.
So if you're listening in and you were raised with families who told you to play it safe, that's me. And so I never thought I had what it took, but I can tell you now that I've been down the path, I don't know how I would ever work for somebody again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely the pros and cons of both, but we are kind of in that great era where you can. And it's like, look, I mean, I just turned 40. So I remember even when I was in high school, you know, social media wasn't a thing. iPhones, I mean, they didn't exist. So the world was a lot smaller, you know. My wife, who's from Northern California, we always joke. It's like, how did you as a kid do the same things or be into the same TV shows as I was as a kid? There wasn't social media. We didn't have the connective tissue in the digital age that we have now where, you know, everything is an Instagram click away. And now, I mean, like you said, you can start an Etsy store and sell stuff tomorrow. You can do it. I mean, there's so many things there where you can just start things as a side hustle and see how it goes and wake up the next day and try something new.
Absolutely. The path to starting a business is so small now, or so short, that there's really nothing stopping you.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if I can give advice, because I've seen friends do this as well, sometimes you have these people, because the advice I struggle with too, David, is just find your passion and go build something around it, right? Sometimes a hobby is a hobby.
Yeah.
And it should be a hobby for a reason, right? I think at the end of the day, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to build a business around something people want.
For sure.
Right? A product of some sort that solves a problem people have and that they're willing to pay to solve.
That's it. Yeah.
And I think that goes back to what you and I were talking about when you're pricing your product and you're now putting a value on your knowledge and your product. It can be tough, but I think just realizing if I've got a product that does help people solve it and I market it well enough, you'll grow a business.
Yeah. I just started listening to the audiobook of it's The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. And it's, I mean, I just started, so I'm like two chapters in, but so far it's been awesome. And he talks about something very similar where it's not so much how hard you work. Like, it's not about working the 80-hour weeks and expecting the great results to come from that. It's really understanding where the focus goes first and then getting laser focused on that area. So instead of just doing something and saying, well, I guess there's an audience, I guess people want what I'm going to sell or the service I'm going to provide, make sure that that's the case. Do the due diligence, find out that that's the space that you need to have that focus. And then once you've found that, attack it like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we get a lot of people who reach out and they see what I'm posting and I'm talking about as far as our services we offer. And I got a, excuse me, I get a lot of people who say, do you know what you sell or what you do can stretch far beyond insurance, right? Like this applies to a lot of people. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't have to. Yeah. We have found a niche because it's who we are. We all, everybody who's on my team was in the insurance industry. We have a market insurance that we're very clear on right now that we're serving. And we don't need to go outside of those boundaries. But your point is a spot on, David. Get very clear about who you're targeting and what you're offering them. And by the way,
yep.
You don't need to be selling 9 different things. Out of
For
the
sure.
Get focus on one thing and get so good at it, it's an irresistible offer.
Oh, I mean, I keep kind of going back to that whole Stanley mug thing phenomenon of this past week where people were camping out outside of Target because Stanley and Starbucks did a collaboration together and it's only at Target. So they had the Target audience who are Target shoppers and the brands of Stanley and Starbucks collaborating and it's limited edition. You can only get them there at Target while supplies last. You know, and people are waiting in line like it's the new iPhone. And that cup has, I mean, they've been making that same Big Yeti tumbler, that 40 ounce for like 60 years. And a lot, I mean, that was kind of the thing. It was like sometimes the service or the product that you have that you've always had is right there. You just need to change who it goes to, you know, make sure that you're targeting the right audience. It's not necessarily coming up with something new. It's just making sure that you've got that dial really set in on who it's for.
That's exactly it. I think a lot of too many entrepreneurs, when something isn't going like growing like they want, they instantly go to something new mm-hmm. when all you are is a few dials away of making your current thing better. That's it.
Man, you got it. So let's go back to the insurance side. So you help with the brand side, personal brand, marketing, social. What are the majority of the insurance space? What are they doing now that maybe they're getting wrong or that's just... That's like you said, that's kind of the way that they've always done it. That's the way you were trained and taught.
Yeah, a couple things I see as a big challenge right now is most insurance producers are still being taught how to prospect the traditional way, which when I got in the industry in 2002, it was cold call and cold emails. And in my case, go door to door.
Yeah.
And the challenge with cold calling, which I would tell you is probably still the most common form of prospecting we have in 2024. Here's the problems with those today. Number one, it's one-to-one marketing, which means you can only reach out to one person at one time. And the statistics around cold calling prove it's gotten harder. It takes 18 calls today to get one person on the phone.
Wow.
18. So for me to get 10 people on the phone, I've got to make 180 dials. And if I make a dial a minute, that's still 3 hours to get 10 people on the phone. Doesn't even mean they're going to say yes, right? Worse yet, we're calling cell phones more than we ever have, right? We're calling offices nobody reports to.
Yeah.
And if I get a number on my phone I don't recognize, you can darn well guarantee I'm not answering it. Yep. Worse yet, my phone might say you're spam.
Right.
And so cold calling has gotten harder than it's harder than it's ever been. So you've got to have other strategies. We call them the exponential awareness strategies that allow you to get one message in front of a lot of people at one time.
Hmm.
Social media, webinars, emails, public speaking, podcasts, right? These are all forms of marketing today that we didn't have 7-8 years ago for in many cases, but the majority of the insurance industry is still not leveraging them. And my message to brokers today is when I got in the industry in 2002, I was given two pieces of advice. Dye my hair gray so I look older. And go buy a membership at a country club I couldn't afford because that's where the CEOs hang out. Well, guess what? This phone here is where people hang out today. This is the modern day country club.
Yep.
And so if you are not here, if I can't find you here, you don't have credibility with me. And that's our whole point. If we can help you leverage all the channels of marketing where I can find you here, you're going to build credibility and trust with prospects before you even walk in the room.
Does that, the insurance people that you talk to, I mean, is it one of those things where they understand that they just haven't thought about it in those terms? Are they afraid of the platforms and the technical know-how of not knowing how to use it? Or is it just like they're starting at zero and it's like, just teach me?
Great question. It goes back to the fears, right? Judgment, yeah. Comparison, and failure. I think a lot of people don't know where to start, especially with social media. You tell somebody to start creating content, all those fears come up. A lot of it is just a lack of training. No one has ever taught them how to do this. And I saw that opportunity in training and saying, listen, nobody is teaching these people how to win today. And so what they're missing is just a clear plan. Too many insurance producers are waking up on Monday morning. They don't have a clear plan for the week for prospecting. So what they do is they go back to what they know. Mm. And what they know is cold calling, sending out a few random cold emails. They aren't effective, but hey, it's what I've always done. And now they're staring at an empty sales pipeline, frustrated, going, I don't get it. This used to be easier.
Yeah.
And so what we're just doing is giving them another path, giving them another plan to have success marketing, opening doors with prospects who already like them and know them. And I will tell you, the ROI we don't talk about enough is when you have a plan, when you're putting a marketing plan together like this that represents your brand and you're doing it in ways that you enjoy, it changes your career. You're having fun with what you're doing again. And you know this, David, when you're passionate about what you do, you naturally become a better salesperson.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's because, it right there.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel like you're selling. If it's something that you're passionate about, let's say that we're talking about your, you know, triathlons and Ironman. If it's your passion where you're choosing to go do it because you enjoy doing it, if you're having a conversation with somebody about that, you're not selling them anything. I mean, it is literally beaming out of you. It's not, oh, I hope he doesn't realize how much I have to have this sale by Wednesday to pay my bills. Hey, you know, there's no more of that. It just radiates. And I think if, like you said, if you can get people to start thinking in those terms, understanding the power that they have and finding how they can adapt that to them so it feels natural, sky's the limit.
Absolutely. And we could have an entirely different podcast episode about what artificial intelligence is going to do to help people do that.
My gosh.
Another thing that we're focused on right now with marketing, that you leverage AI well in the marketing arena, you could leave your competition in the dust.
That's, yeah, you're right. A completely other podcast episode around that. But yeah, that's kind of one of those things that even people like Gary Vee say. He's like, if you're not leveraging the starting of AI now, ChatGPT, all of that kind of stuff, you're going to get left. And it's going to be like those people who are reaching out now and saying, I know I need to be on LinkedIn, but I don't know what to do. And that's 5, 8, 10 years of where they should have asked that question in 2013, not now.
Yep, 100%.
So I want to talk about your book as well. Breaking Through the Status Quo. Did that come later, or has that been kind of something right now?
It is. It was earlier. I wrote that in 2017 with some peers. So I was still advising as a health insurance advisor, and we did it as a collaborative effort. So everybody kind of took upon a chapter themselves. I laugh when people say your book. I wrote a chapter. But the book is about how we as consumers in the United States need to view health insurance and healthcare from a different lens. And if you look at how most people utilize health insurance today and the healthcare system, it's very ineffective. And the chapter I wrote was talking about how the medical ID card every one of us has in our hands today, if you have health insurance, is really nothing more than an unlimited company credit card. Because if I am given a health plan by my employer and it has a network of providers I can see, I can go to any one of those providers I want and spend whatever I want with them. That's an unlimited company credit card. And so that was really the crux of my message in that book was, you know, as an employer who offers health insurance, you have to teach your employees how to be better stewards of this unlimited company credit card.
1,000%. I mean, you go to a mandatory training or, you know, if you're signed up for a plan, a 30-minute webinar and you get your card in the mail and that's really it. And then you have no idea when to use it, how to use it, how to most effectively use it. Nothing. So, and that's one of the tenets that I love as well, is whether it's working on personal brand and all of that kind of stuff or something like that, it's all about the education part. Because the more 100%. That you can educate, people ask questions and then you become that thought leader for that. You become the one that when they ask the question, or maybe previously felt like they would be stupid to ask a question, now they feel like they can have those types of conversations and questions. And we know people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And if you can start to have conversations and not, you know, talk with people and not at people, There you go.
Well, and bringing it back to the whole entrepreneurial scene, you know, when it's your baby, this is your company, you have to be the number one sales rep, right?
Yep.
And I think as an entrepreneur, it is imperative today that you build a personal brand, because I'll take another line from Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, if you put out enough, if you put your brand out there enough and it resonates with the right people, eventually you're literally going to guilt them into doing business with you. And yep. I think a lot of entrepreneurs are afraid to put themselves out there. Therefore, sure. Their product, a good product, goes unsold and their business doesn't grow the way they want it to. If you got to lean into the personal brand as an entrepreneur, because it's going to do wonders for your revenue.
No doubt. I mean, and I struggle with that some at points too, like I think we all do. You know, it's, I'll put something out, you don't get that dopamine hit, you don't get the likes or any of that kind of stuff, people don't engage with it the way that you want to, and you're like, well, does this make me look stupid? All of those types of things. But like you said, the payoff is much higher than the perceived negativity that could come, 100%. Which is usually zero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy, this has been fantastic. And I will make sure that your book is linked in here so that people can go find that, read everything that you guys have done. But how can people keep up with you on all your socials?
Yeah, if anybody wants to connect, please connect with me on LinkedIn. That's our number one channel, Andy Neary. And then if I also have a free training, if anybody is interested, they can find it at CompleteGamePlaybook.com.
Okay.
CompleteGamePlaybook.com. I put a free training out there just about the four pillars of an effective marketing plan and what an entrepreneur can do to brand themselves and put their message out to the market to find the right prospects.
Heck yeah. Well, Andy, I'll make sure all of that stuff is linked. But thank you again for your time. This has been fantastic. I think you bring a wealth of knowledge, and I just love the background of, you know, from baseball and everything else that it, you know, encapsulated, the lessons learned. And like we always say, you know, you learn so much more from the things that didn't go right than the things that did. And it's just being able to keep those, because they're going to show themselves in a myriad of ways. You may have struggled with one thing in baseball and it's like, all right, well, if that happens in baseball again, I've got it. But then all of a sudden it happens in entrepreneurship or business or somewhere else. And you're like, wait a minute, this looks like the same struggle, only maybe this one's red when the other one was blue. But I know what this is. So I love how you have really become adept at being able to kind of keep that in your tool belt and uncover that, and especially the work that you're doing to help others do the same.
It's, you know, man, you and I are blessed to be able to do this every day, right?
And for sure.
So anything we can do to help more entrepreneurs grow the business they deserve, that's what this is about.
Yeah. And right. To have the confidence to do it. I mean,
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
That's the hardest part, you know, wanting to do it, thinking about doing it versus doing it. I mean, it's
actually doing it.
If anybody's listening, jump out there and do it. And if you need anybody to help you through it, follow Andy. He will.
I'll say this and then wrap up, David. It's the advice I gave some of my clients yesterday. Fail fast.
Yep.
Just know you're going to fail, but take action and fail fast, because you will never, ever be upset about the amount of action you took.
Oh, love that. Love that. Well, thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of your day, Andy.
You too, David. Appreciate this, man.
Thanks for listening to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform, and connecting on social. You can subscribe and follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real David Ezell. To learn more about being a guest on the show, go to realdavidezell.com to find out more. Until next time.